Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Live and local here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck on a Tuesday, September 2nd. College football season fully underway. We had a taste of it with week zero. Week one was awesome. We went through some of the upsets earlier in the show today. We'll go on University Drive, talk all things college football in the state of Virginia at 2:15. Hokie Steve will join us in an hour at 2 p.m., but it's 1 p.m. here on AWOD Radio, and it's a game week for the Washington Commanders taking on the Giants. It's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Phone lines are open. You can predict the stars of week one. 833-804-0910. Call AWOD, 833-804-0910, or tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Who will make the most plays in week one? So we'll start with the wide receivers, and Terry McLaurin is back, right? Scary Terry is back. Ended up being a nothing burger of a story. He gets that contract. I think both sides won between Adam Peters and Terry and his agent. I'm so glad it's over. Now, how much do we expect to see him in week one? I think the way it worked out, he had plenty of time to get up to speed. And I think he will play so much and get fed so often that we will forget the holdout even happened. But I do predict Cliff Kingsbury is going to force feed the ball to Deebo Samuel rather than Terry McLaurin. I think the plan will be to get Deebo involved early in the game, get him a few touches, and then work some of the intermediate and deeper routes to Terry McLaurin. So I'm predicting Deebo Samuel will have the most touches of any Commander in week one against the Giants. I do expect, like Michael said, in the first quarter he'll get a handoff, whether it's an end around or, you know, a pass behind the line of scrimmage or a screen pass. They're going to put the ball into his hands. I really feel that way. So I think he will get the most touches of anybody on the Washington Commanders week one. Then it will be Terry and then probably Zach Ertz. My question is, how much will we see Zach Ertz? I think we're going to see a lot. I do not think we saw anything in preseason to feel like, all right, Ben Sennett's ready. If anything, we saw that John Bates is once again going to be a huge part of this offense with his blocking and an extra piece on the offensive line. He's basically a sixth offensive lineman. So let's get to the running backs. We asked Michael Phillips. Heck, we asked every single reporter. Who's going to line up next to Jaden Daniels? Snap one, play one. We heard different answers. Chris Rodriguez. Bill. Could it be Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt? Michael says maybe it's just five wide. Let Jaden Daniels take the snap and run himself or throw it with a quick pass. I'm sticking with Austin Ekeler. We'll be in the backfield next to Jaden Daniels. I think Austin Ekeler will get the most carries of running backs in week one. I think we'll find out more when Dan Quinn speaks tomorrow to the media. It's going to be very interesting who's in the backfield next to Jaden and how much they run. Now, remember, Cliff Kingsbury notoriously likes to pass. Right, he's the air raid offense guy. And the thing is that he will call passing plays, and Jaden Daniels will just run because he sees an opening. or he scrambles. So I don't know how many running plays Cliff Kingsbury will call, but I do think Austin Ekeler will get the most carries, and then it'll be very interesting. Is it Bill, or do they hold him out? I actually like what Michael's talking about, which is hold him out week one and let him have fresh legs on the road in Lambeau week two for Thursday Night Football. Give him a look they've never seen before because he hasn't played a snap in the NFL in Ja'Cory Kruskamara. Week one, you go with the guys you trusted last year, Austin Ekeler, McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez, who was the fourth quarter man last year. Can he be the first quarter man this year? But I think my biggest question for week one that I have is, will we notice an improvement in the offensive line? I believe so. I really do. I'm predicting we'll see an improvement because maybe Jaden will get sacked less, or Jaden will have to scramble less, or maybe they'll just be able to run more. We'll find out who the exact starters will be on the offensive line, I believe, by Wednesday or Thursday. But we know about Laremy Tunsil, and we know Brandon Coleman's healthy at left guard, and we know how good Tyler Biadasz is at safety or at center. I will be keeping my eye on how successful Jaden, Debo, or every running back are at running left. I want this team to be dominant when they run left behind the left side of the offensive line. Over to the defensive side of the ball. Who will make the most plays? Week one against the New York Giants. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. I think it starts with the secondary. I'm hoping for a turnover, and I think you have to look at safety Quan Martin, who had the big play against the Detroit Lions. He was really good in preseason. He was one of my 10 stars of training camp. I feel like he's more confident. He's more comfortable. And I think last year, the success, not just that the team had, but that he had individually, changed his outlook on what kind of player he can be in the National Football League. I think last year he was like a fringe, could get cut piece, right? He was part of the Rivera era. He didn't mean anything to these guys here. You've seen how they've moved on from so many guys that they did not draft or they did not sign. But then he was so good last year that I think the coaching staff has kind of changed their outlook on him, and Quan Martin's probably changed his outlook on how good he can be in the National Football League. We'll have our eyes on new safety Will Harris. I do expect Jeremy Reeves to get an opportunity in the safety position also. And then I'm looking for Lattimore, Sanderson, and Abos against the weapons that Russell Wilson will have for him and the New York Giants. Who will we have on Malik Nabers? I'd probably like to see Lattimore get the first try, and then you might go to Sanderson. Who leads us in tackles? As I predicted, I'm going with Frankie Louvu. I think this is the year that he is an all-pro first-team linebacker, and I think he will take over Bobby Wagner in terms of leading us in tackles this season. And then defensively, you look at who's the threat to bring down Russell Wilson. And will we get a sack? How many sacks will we get? We didn't do a good enough job in that last year. And you lose your sack leader in Dante Fowler Jr. That means, all right, who's going to be the new sack leader this year? We've pointed to Von Miller, Dorrance Armstrong, maybe Frankie Louvu as well. They have got to pressure the quarterback better this year. That has to be an emphasis. I think Dan Quinn knows that too. And when you look back at last year, they played against Russell Wilson, right? They played against Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Russell Wilson was able to get the ball off against Washington, and that changed the game. It really did. It was a 28-27 win for the Steelers. It was a back-and-forth game that they won late because Russell was able to release the ball downfield to Mike Williams before the edge rushers got to him. He has a great deep ball. He's got a good lollipop pass where he can kind of drop it in a bucket. That's always been his big strength. You have got to get him off of his spot. You cannot let him sit back, especially on third downs and with one-on-one coverage, because that's where he will burn you. His accuracy on the deep ball is why he has made his living in the National Football League. And lastly, in terms of who will make the plays, Virginia Tech had a disaster of a special teams play. I think the Virginia Tech Hokie Jalen Lanes can have a big special teams play on Sunday. Jalen Lane at punt returner. I'm not sure who will be the kick returner. Don't have much confidence, to be honest with you guys, in Matt Gay at kicker. It's unfortunate because I know that this was a position that Adam Peters wanted to solidify this offseason. That's why they brought in Matt Gay so early. didn't give me too much confidence in preseason, but that'll be something to keep an eye on because, remember, the Giants didn't win many games last year, but they had Washington on the ropes. It was 18-18. Washington made 6 field goals. In week 2, Jaden Daniels had to lead them down the field for the 7th made field goal that ended up being the difference in a 21-18 victory. I'm expecting it to be a battle. I really am, because I think the Giants' defense is much improved, and all eyes will be on Abdul Carter. And then, you know, offensively, they just had awful quarterback play last year. But they did have good running back play from Tyrone Tracy. So you got to stop the run, and then you got to be able to stop play action, because that's Russell Wilson's best ability is the play action and the deep shot. He wants to create some explosive plays. I'll have my eyes on the secondary this weekend for the Washington Commanders. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. Who will make the most plays? 833-804-0910. Is there a guy I'm sleeping on? Maybe it could be Jalen Lane. Maybe it's Noah Brown. Luke McCaffrey, I kind of doubt it after he didn't show up much in the preseason. Is there a playmaker I'm forgetting about? 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. You're listening to AWOD here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, we'll go around the National Football League with our news and notes ahead of Week 1. We'll bring on Lane Casadante to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia at 1:30, and Hokie Steve for some college football talk at 2 p.m. This is AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most NFL talk in town, and it's finally here. Game one to start the 2025-2026 NFL season is Thursday night. NBC and Peacock, the Cowboys taking on the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. As we go around the National Football League here on NFL Hits.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
Stubby, we're going to need to find that in-season NFL Hits. The offseason is now complete. If I gave you a script of the 2025-2026 NFL season, what do you think would be the first thing that sticks out to you. I don't think anybody expected the Micah Parsons trade from Dallas to the Green Bay Packers. The first thing I would be looking for is what happens with the Kansas City Chiefs. It feels like there's growing speculation that they could take a slight step back this year. It's hard for me to predict that they don't win their division, but I do feel like they won't win 15 games again. They're getting older. They're not really getting younger, and they have a big key player who's suspended for the first six games of the season. How do you feel about Kansas City defending their crown as the AFC champions?
I mean, it's always likely with those coaches, with Patrick Mahomes. I know Travis Kelce's getting older. Their offensive weapons aren't spectacular, but, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. It's so hard to bet against them.
Let me ask you this. If I gave you Kansas City or the field, who would you take to represent the AFC? I think I would take the field this year because Buffalo has been beating on that door. I mean, last year, they literally got the fourth down conversion and the refs faked it and said they didn't. I mean, you can say what you want. It felt like Kansas City got the call. Baltimore has been as close as they've ever been, it feels like. Lamar Jackson, I'm predicting this is his revenge season. He should have been MVP. He can't believe that Mark Andrews dropped the pass, that's the reason they lost on a two-point conversion play. Like, I think Baltimore, Buffalo are legit to actually win the Super Bowl. That's how good they are this year. And then there's a ton of wild card teams in the AFC.
I think I'm at like 40% Chiefs, 60% field, so I'm taking the field here, but there's no one I'd bet above them.
Yeah.
It just, that is history. That is what has been shown.
I'm picking the field, but if it's Kansas City versus any other team, I am picking Kansas City. Over to the NFC, and it starts Thursday with an NFC East battle between Dallas and Philadelphia. I'm kind of expecting Philadelphia to blow out the Cowboys, but there is something to the fact that everybody's picking the Eagles and that everybody's kind of making fun of Dallas, especially after that trade. Their backs are against the wall. Anything can happen any given Sunday. I mean, it's not exactly like the TCU-UNC thing, but I do think it's kind of similar. Like, TCU was playing with, like, an extra motivation because America was watching because of Bill Belichick and UNC. And I think that could be similar Thursday. America will be watching because of Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, and the Philadelphia Eagles. And they're still going to be laughing about how Dallas traded away Micah Parsons. There's going to be a few players on the Cowboys that want the last laugh. And we can't forget the fact that Dallas won 10-plus games like every year before last year. Like when Dak Prescott's healthy, they win 10 games. Is he going to stay healthy? That's a big question. But he's good to go on Thursday to start the 2025 NFL season. Were you worried at all about Stafford? Is that big news that he's going to start Sunday against the Texans? I was never really that worried.
I'm not that worried. I've been laughing a lot of people saying Matthew Stafford is dead and this is a clone. but aside from that, I think it's fine. I think he'll play. Stafford's really good. If they say he's good to go, I'm going to trust it.
He's 37. He's entering his 17th NFL season. Now, he had a back injury. He didn't go into specifics about the back injury, but he sat out all of the preseason. Sean McVay's kind of been known for sitting out his guys for all of the preseason. And they get things started with a very difficult match. So it's going to be interesting to see if their offense can get out and going, get going in week one, because it's not going to be easy for the Rams against the Houston Texans from SoFi Stadium on Sunday at 4:25. So Thursday night, and then there is a Friday night game on YouTube from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Another Brazil game to start week one with Friday night. They did this last year, right? It was Eagles-Packers last year, and Jordan Love got hurt. This year, Chiefs-Chargers. And that's going to be a fantastic game. I am super excited to watch the Chargers this season. They did get good news about Najee Harris being back, but I don't really consider that great news because I was excited for the Amarian Hampton season. Is this going to be a game, or will the AFC defending champions Chiefs, you know, continue to dominate in that division like they have in previous years? It's going to be interesting. I kind of think Harbaugh will have his boys ready to play. And if the Chiefs win, they'll win by a field goal. That seems to be the case for the Chiefs the last few years. They just find a way to win close games late in the game.
Not a Herbert believer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys. After that playoff loss, dude, I just don't know if he's the guy.
There's a lot of people that are anti-Herbert. And it's interesting because this could be the last year, I think, that Harbaugh trusts him. Now, they don't have anything in a backup in Trey Lance, in my opinion. So I don't think they would give him a shot. I think Herbert goes the entire season no matter what. But I think they could draft a quarterback the next season. I don't know that they have enough weapons at wide receiver. Again, you're hoping for Ladd McConkey to lead the way, and you bring in an old-ass Keenan Allen. I just don't know that they have enough there in terms of firepower on offense. They're going to need a 1,000-yard back, either Najee Harris or Marion Hampton, and that might be tough. They should be really good on defense, though, and that's going to probably have to carry them this season. It's going to be an awesome week one of the NFL season. Like I said, game Thursday, game Friday, a full slate of games on Sunday, and then it closes out Monday Night Football from Soldier Field in Chicago, the highly anticipated debut of the Ben Johnson era, year two for Caleb Williams against the Minnesota Vikings. And Coach Kevin O'Connell feels very confident about his rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, as they try to build off of what was an incredible 14-win regular season and then a dud of a postseason. Can Minnesota get back there with a rookie quarterback this season? One of the biggest questions heading into week one. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. We got a lot still to come on the show today. Football season is back, which means it's time to bring back some of our weekly favorite segments like Touchdown Tuesday. All the best plays from the weekend. There'll be a lot of college and high school action for Touchdown Tuesday today. That'll be at 1:45. Hokie Steve will join us live from Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck at 2 p.m. We'll run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia with Lane Castadante from CBS 6 when we return on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
And he will keep it. He is hit but falls forward and he's in. He was hit by Lawrence Hewlett, but he got across the plane and in the end zone. Not by much, but it's 6 points for the Jags.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the 804 broadcast game of the week. That was Gary Hess on the call. He works with Gary Criswell. Stubb is their producer for high school football games and Thursday and Friday to start the football season. Stubb, anything you wanted to report about the two games that you worked over the weekend?
They were good. I mean, they were so good. I missed, you know, football in general, and that was kind of the kickoff for me, and it was in person.
Yeah.
So I just really felt like it was fall and that football was back.
Yeah, there's nothing like Friday Night Lights, and we've got some good teams in the 804. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia, from CBS 6, it's our buddy Lane Castadante. What's up, Lane?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. How's everybody?
Doing pretty good here, and I know you and Gary came out with this week's CBS 6 910 The Fan coaches poll. Any surprises there following the first weekend?
Well, a couple of big movers. Manchester is up three spots to number three. Everybody was very impressed with the way they handled Monacan to start their season. I have that incorrect. They were up three from 9-6. And then, I can't even remember the own poll that I sent Gary yesterday. So the number three team in the area is... Why can't I just think of who it is? No, it's Highland Springs.
Manchester.
It is Manchester. Okay, they're up from 6-3, and Glen Allen went from 9-6. That's who I'm thinking of. Because they play each other this Friday night. That's why I have the two of them confused. And then, obviously, the game that I was getting People were stopping me. I went to UVA Saturday night and watched their opener against Coastal Carolina, and people were stopping me saying, what on earth is up with private school football in Richmond? Because everybody was very surprised by that St. Christopher score of them knocking off Huguenot. Not so much that they won the game, but just that the way that they did it, holding the Falcons to only 7 points. Before the season, Lance Cleland, the head coach of St. Christopher's, you know, made it a point. The last 2 years, they have lost several games by 10 points or less. They had not done well in close games. They had not been a fourth quarter team. It's only one game this year, but for one game on a very big stage, they helped turn that narrative around a little bit.
Lane with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. If you want more high school football, you have to tune in to Final Score Friday, the best in town of highlighting the high school football action. Lane Casadante and Sean Robertson, CBS 6, Final Score Friday. But I want to move over to that UVA game. Like you said, this was the most excited I've been for a UVA football season since I started covering the team. They looked really good. A little bit of a scare with Chandler Morris going down, but Tony Elliott thinks he's going to be good to go, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was his non-throwing shoulder. It's his left shoulder. I was sent a text last night that said, oh, it's a mild sprain of the AC joint and a slight separation. Well, to you and me, that might put us on the shelf for a week. But when it's a non-throwing shoulder of a Power 4 Division 1 quarterback, yeah, he's good. We need him. He's going to be in there this Saturday. So Tony lamented right after the game, yeah, we need him to slide. He's going to have to learn how to do that. But Morris told Elliott that he was only, 2 yards from the end zone. He could see himself scoring. And in that moment, he made a business decision. It didn't quite end up all that well, but it does not look like it looks like he should be ready to go for NC State this weekend.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting is this is an ACC game, but it won't count in the ACC conference standings. Virginia against NC State here. Any other takeaways you had from their first victory you'd like to report?
It was a bit of a slow start, which is completely understandable when you have 54 new faces on the roster and no preseason games. It's not like they get 3 exhibition games to try all this stuff out. They don't even get, joint practices against another team to try all this stuff out. So you can understand if they were a little bit slow coming out of the blocks. But and I think Coastal had over 60 new players on their team. Welcome to NIL and the transfer portal. This is what it's going to be like moving forward. So, getting on the same page, they obviously had more talent. I thought the defense played very well. Coastal got, a late second half touchdown was their only score, and they really never threatened. In the first quarter, they actually had a field goal they took off the board, and then that didn't work out for them because I believe there was a turnover shortly after that. So, it was about all you could hope for out of a UVA opener in which you don't really know a lot about the team. Had they squeaked by or had, God forbid, they lost the game, we're having a much different conversation. But at the same time, I think it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks to figure out exactly what this UVA team has. Cam Ross had a great night. I mean, you JMU fans were not surprised by that. He's been doing that in Harrisonburg. He did it in Harrisonburg last year, and he has already become one of Morris's favorite targets.
Lane Casadante with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Let's move over to the Hokies, Virginia Tech football. Penalties, missed tackles, and mistakes cost them in a loss to South Carolina. I will say, I do think the Gamecocks are really good. Lenora Sellers was awesome. Their first drive was really good. Just cruised down the field and got it in the end zone. I thought there was some good fight by Virginia Tech, but Coach Pry pointed to it. Like, you can't have those kind of penalties and those big mistakes and expect to beat a team that's in the top 25.
I kind of expected what we saw on Saturday. That's not to say that it isn't disappointing to Hokies fans, especially offensively. I mean, South Carolina's got a really good defense, and their offense, didn't click on all cylinders either. If you take away the long pass in the fourth quarter and the punt return, which Shane made them kick again, just like his dad did for almost 30 years, on the opposite sideline. You take those two away, and this is a very close game. But I kind of expected South Carolina to be the better team for those reasons, because of Lonnar Sellers, because of the defense. And I have a hard time, you know, kind of going back and forth between, is South Carolina's defense really that good, or does Virginia Tech really still have some questions offensively? I think it can be both. I'm just not sure where the scale slides towards one or the other.
Yeah, I didn't like what I saw from the offensive side of the ball from the Hokies. We move over to the NFL. Is there a matchup you're looking forward to most? Are you still super excited for NFL Week 1 action this weekend, Lane?
I don't think there's one that you can point to. I'm looking forward to all of it and just, you know, taking it all in and then kind of evaluating after, you know, Monday night, like a week from today, you look back and say, okay, here's what we saw. Here's what we thought we knew. Here's what we didn't know. Because it's so, you know, college football is one thing with, you know, new faces, and, you know, you can't do that in the NFL. The salary cap and the way that everything's designed, you know, it takes two or three years to turn over a roster. We've seen that in D.C., right? How many guys are left from Ron Rivera's last team? I think it's about a half a dozen, maybe. So you kind of know what you're going to get. Now the question is, obviously, you know, as we watch the Commanders, and we've talked about this all summer, can Jaden Daniels do it again? You know, will Terry McLaurin be up to speed? I think he will. I think he's a pro. He's been doing this long enough. I don't think he needed an extended, you know, training camp to get himself ready for the season. But now it's a question of, can they do it again? I don't know how much we're going to know about the Commanders, because I don't put a lot of faith in the New York Giants. I think they'll win that game. They can win it. Doesn't matter what the final score is. I still don't think we're going to know everything we'd like to know about the Commanders after a Week 1 victory. So it's a lot of those questions throughout the NFL based on the matchup. You know, should they win? Yes. Did they? Okay. What do we know? We don't really still know anything until they start playing games where, you know, hey, I don't know, this is going to be a really good game. Maybe they'll win, maybe they won't. So that's where you kind of learn more about the team, rather than a game in which they're probably favored by a touchdown or so. I haven't even seen the line, but I would assume they're at least a 5 or 6 point favorite on Sunday.
Yeah, split the difference. 5.5 point favorite is Washington. I hope it's going to be an easy victory. I'm kind of predicting it to be more of a dogfight. I mean, you look at the games last year, Washington wins 21-18, won the second game, I think, by like 5 or 6 points there. I think it'll be close. One thing I think Washington has on its side is a big X factor. It's not Jaden Daniels, not Debo, it's not Terry McLaurin, not an improved defense. I'm so glad this game is at home, because the Commanders are going to be hunted by teams this year. The Giants want to win this game so badly. I'm really hoping that the fan base can flock to Northwest Stadium, Landover, Maryland, and we haven't really had a home field advantage in the last few years. It got much better last year with the change of ownership. I think the home stadium could actually play a big factor in this game Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with all that, and I think you're right. It's, you know, how many games have we been to up there in the last 10 years where there was 40% other colors in the stadium?
Right.
I don't think you're going to see that this year. Even with the Giants, you know, it's only a little bit of a train ride or drive down from New York, and Giants fans are as passionate as anybody else, regardless of the, you know, there is critical as well. But yeah, I think you're right about all of that. The fact that, you know, the Commanders are now going to be a big game on their schedule, and the Commanders are going to play a lot of nighttime games and a lot of primetime games, and that's what you want, right? You want everybody's best shot until you get it. Like, you're going to get everybody's best shot, and you're going to see teams play against them, you know, much better than you would have thought they ever could. A lifelong Yankee fan, I can attest that that's a real thing. Both in the pros, both in college and high school, guys get geared up. Sports are emotional, and even at that level, they get geared up to play against a team that is supposedly that much better, or against someone that gets so much more publicity than they do. So that is going to be a real thing. How do they handle that? They're good enough, but again, it's the emotion thing. Can they match the emotion that they're going to face every week?
Yeah, and it's always interesting with the NFC East. It's very hard to predict those matchups. Lane, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
You bet, Adam. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. We're broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on by, grab a beer, and check out the show. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Appreciate you guys sticking with 910 The Fan after my beach week trip to close out the summer. It's now time for all things football here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. You're home for the Hokies and the Hoos, high school football game of the week, and the Washington Commanders, as well as the most NFL talk in town with the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday. Michael Phillips is 10 to noon. I'm 12 to 3, AWOD Radio, for Grant Danny drive you home. And with the return of football segment, football season, comes the return of our favorite segments that we like to bring up during the NFL, college, and high school football seasons. It's a Tuesday, and we haven't done a Dude Food in a while. I'm definitely going to try to get tacos tonight, as it's a Taco Tuesday. But on AWOD Radio, we highlight and honor the best plays from the weekend that ended with 6 points, tutties on the board on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Touchdown Tuesday. All the best scoring plays from the biggest showdowns across the National
Inside
Football
the 10,
League.
Into the end zone for a touchdown.
Straight into the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
At the end of the day, all that matters is getting into the end zone.
Take it all the way for a touchdown.
Touchdown Tuesday on AWOD Radio.
So every year we track the touchdown leaders in high school, college, and the NFL. We are awaiting week one of the NFL season, but we'll get started with Touchdown Tuesday college football. And let's start with the passing touchdown leaders. There's Maverick McAvoy for Western Kentucky, who had 6 touchdowns to start the season for the Hilltoppers. Arkansas, 6 touchdowns from Taylor Green. And the new era at BYU with the new quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, got things started with 6 touchdowns in week one, including this 22-yard touchdown pass. Let's take a listen to the call.
They've had big chunk yard runs here tonight, though. Two in the 40s, one in the 50s. Now for the end zone. Ryan! Oh, he has it! What a catch! Touchdown!
Touchdown!
Tuesday!
QB1 for the UConn Huskies, Joe Fagnano, with six touchdowns. Couple on the ground, couple through the air. Baron Morton at Texas Tech with six. Rocco Becht with four at Iowa State. And Eli Holstein gets his next season started at Pitt with a win and four touchdowns. Top college receivers this year? Well, it has to start with Bo Sparks at Texas State and his four touchdowns over the weekend. Let's take a listen to the call.
Here's Jackson over the middle. And that is a first down and more. Bo Sparks at Texas State strikes first. I've seen one target so far tonight. That pass caught, and for the second time, Bo Sparks finds the end zone. Looks, fires, Sparks, third time tonight. Blitz from Eastern Michigan. Jackson thrown to the end zone. What a night, Bo Sparks. Make it four.
Touchdown!
Tuesday!
So we mentioned the quarterback for Western Kentucky, six touchdowns. His lead wide receiver, Katie Hutchinson, caught three of them. He's in our top five, as well as Cam Pickett from Kansas and Cade Harris from Airport, who had three touchdowns over the weekend. Over to the top college football running backs in week one. I think you have to start with UNLV's Jaden Thomas, who had four. Rayshon Luke at Fresno State had four as well. Justice Haynes got his era started at Michigan with three. Willis gets into the end zone three times for Syracuse. And Kawan Lacey with Ole Miss had three touchdowns. Stubb, is there a play you wanted to highlight on a touchdown Tuesday?
Yeah, I want to highlight a fake punt touchdown.
Ooh.
For those watching the Boise State game with South Florida,
yeah,
fake punt turned 45-yard touchdown pass. Let's take a listen.
Who's going to break through at some point? Fake! He's got him! What a call! Singleton! Bulls! Touchdown!
Tuesday! How about Arizona State last year? Cam Scatabo scatting into the end zone over and over again. He ends up in the draft and selected by the New York Giants. Here's the new running back for State into the end zone, a new 52-yard run.
The leader for ASU stepping up. Lot of room to run. Sam Levitt. There he goes. 10-5. Touchdown, Arizona State.
All right, let's get to some non-offensive touchdowns. How about a 95-yard pick six for SMU, the Mustangs, Ahmad Moses? Let's take a listen to the call on a Touchdown Tuesday.
To replace the center, Thursland. Here's Rodriguez trying to find it. It's intercepted. It is picked off, and this is Moses. Ahmad Moses is going to take one to the house. 95 yards.
Tuesday.
Stubb, I'll go back to you for another highlight here on a Touchdown Tuesday, the best of college football week one.
Well, you know, I'm a Hokie, but I will get excited for a 100-yard kickoff return by the Hoos. Cam Ross went all the way. I mean, they were dominating all game, but this put them up 42-7.
Yeah, from the
Ross on the return.
Hoos.
Watch out. He's got great speed. He's got the kicker beat. What a night for Cam Ross. Welcome to Charlottesville, young man.
How about Ohio State, one of the better games of the weekend? Carnell Tate with a 40-yard touchdown grab. Let's take a listen to the call.
Saying, looking, goes deep, saying, Tate, touchdown, Tater.
Touchdown!
Tuesday!
And then let's close things off here with Illinois in their 52-7 win, a 57-yard touchdown run to the house on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Looks like he throws it pretty well.
He gives a Lawfrey. He might go.
Oh, he's gone.
Aiden Lawfrey will have his second touchdown of the night.
I think we messed up here on a Touchdown Tuesday, Stubb. We should have had something from TCU and their dominant victory over UNC, right? Was that even a game? 48-14. They were all over Bill Belichick, and the North Carolina Tar Heels. It started good for North Carolina. They got in the end zone with a Caleb Hood 8-yard run, and they were up 7-0. And then before you knew it, it was 27-7, then 34-7, then 41-7 on a 37-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Your final score, 48-14. We definitely need to highlight the Horned Frogs of TCU and their Week 1 victory over UNC. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. If there was an awesome play that resulted in a tutty from Week 1 of college football and we missed it, give us a call. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. All season long, we track those who get into the end zone. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is getting across the goal line. UVA's quarterback Chandler Morris should have gone down. He told his head coach, "I saw the end zone. 2 yards away, I thought I could get in." He ends up with a shoulder injury, but we know how important it is to get into the end zone. So all season long, we'll track the touchdown leaders in high school, college, and the NFL every Tuesday on Touchdown Tuesday. Last year's Touchdown Tuesday Player of the Year represents the Vegas Raiders, who will be playing on Sundays. That was Ashton Gentry, who was my Heisman winner out of Boise State, not Travis Hunter. We'll be looking forward to tracking him and his rushing touchdowns for the Raiders this year on Touchdown Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.
Touchdown Tuesday!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.